as I've heard Fiona from A Chosen Farm say before, there's no food security without seed security, and having a local supply is absolutely necessary if you want to have a sustainable local food system. Hi, I'm Siri for Helping Gardeners Grow.
Hey, hi, and welcome back to my podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. I'm your host, Donna Balzer, and I'm also a horticulturist, speaker, and author. And of course, I'm an avid gardener, love growing my own food. For three seasons, I was also the co-host of Bugs and Blooms on HGTV and frequently heard on CBC Radio. But these days, you'll find me at home producing my own podcast and growing food for my family. I interviewed Siri Van Gruen of Farm Folk, City Folk, based in Vancouver, BC, and I asked her to explain citizen seed growing. And along the way, she also explained the meaning of hybrids versus open pollinated, the value of saving your own seeds, and all about the seed-linked program used by Farm Folk, City Folk. If you love getting free gardening tips, remember to go to my website, donnabalzer.com, and subscribe to this podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. When you subscribe, every episode is sent right to you. And if you want to help me help you, remember to rate the show, post a review, and most importantly, share these episodes with your friends. Okay, I'm going to pop back later to sum things up, but for now, let's jump right in and listen to my conversation with Siri about how you can make a huge contribution to food security just by growing a little-known French bean. Hi, Siri. Welcome to Helping Gardeners Grow. And what are you up to today?
Today is a typical Friday. I've been working all day, getting some programming ready for the spring and preparing for our upcoming citizen seed trial.
Oh, fantastic. And what's your background? How did you get started?
Yeah, basically, I've always been interested in farming. I remember being 5 years old and, you know, being asked by my teacher, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And as a small child, I kind of reasoned, well, the only thing we really need in life is food. So naturally, I thought I should become a farmer because that's the only important job, since that I've realized we need a lot more than just farmers.
Oh, and honestly, are your parents farmers? Like, how did you get this idea at five?
No, they're not farmers at all. My dad's an avid gardener. You can often find him outside in our yard gardening. And I think he gave me a real passion for having diverse species. You know, you see a lot of our neighbors growing up, they just had all grass, but our entire lawn is filled with flowers for all the birds and the bees. And yeah, he definitely motivated me to get more into gardening when I was growing up.
Wow. Okay, but you didn't leave it at that. You went to university.
Yeah. So during high school, I started to get interested in kind of the idea of climate-friendly agricultural practices and all these cool techniques we could be doing to lowering our carbon emissions. So I decided to go to university, to McGill University, and I did my degree in agricultural and environmental sciences with a specialization in plant production. And that was a super great experience because I got to be part of a whole bunch of different things. Like, we had a farm on campus, so I was a farmhand 1 year, and I also got to help set up a permaculture garden. I think a lot of people don't know that McGill actually has a secondary campus out on the West Island that is a very small, tight-knit community of food lovers and growers.
You know, I had no idea. It sounds like we did almost the same thing. I also took a plant science degree and then worked on the farm at the University of Alberta, so
isn't that a great way to go?
Yeah, it's a good way to get some background, working with all those PhDs.
Yeah, exactly. Helping them on their research projects.
And how did you get started then with Farm Folk, City Folk? What happened there?
Basically, I graduated during the beginning of the pandemic, and I was working at Garden Works for a while and just kind of looking out for opportunities. And I got a position working at our research and education seed farm. And then after that position ended, I continued on to launch their seed to food program. And then I've been working in my current position as the BC Seed Security Program coordinator for the last year.
Well, who even knew that this was going on? I had no idea.
Yeah, it's been fun. The Farm Folk City Folk has lots of excellent programming, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Oh, nice. And you live there? Is it in Vancouver? Is the whole thing in Vancouver?
We're remotely based. So most people, I would say, live in the Metro Vancouver area. Our farm's based out in Abbotsford, but we also have some employees on the island to extend our seed security program, one in Pemberton, and a couple other people around the province.
Okay, well, that sounds great. So how did you get involved in the citizen seed trial?
Yeah, so this will be my third year helping out and running the citizen seed trial. The first year, I wasn't part of the decision-making process and the crops or anything, but I did grow out all of the crops at our farm and at home. So I was able to compare and engage with our Facebook group for the citizen seed trial, which was super fun. And then after working on the seed farm this summer, I did the seed to food program, which is just kind of finding economic or just ways to use the food waste that comes from seed production. Because I think a lot of people don't realize that food waste can be a byproduct of seed production. Hmm. Like tomatoes, you could separate the seeds and then make a sauce, or kale, you can eat the leaves and then next year let it go to seed. So that was my first main project, but I was still involved in a lot of other programming like the citizen seed trial.
So tell us more, what does this mean? What is a citizen seed trial?
So the Citizen Seed Trial is a public science program that helps to engage gardeners and growers in the process of variety trials, seed saving, and seed breeding. Basically, every year we select a few varieties of crops that we have decided will be particularly useful to BC growers, while ensuring that these varieties are suitable for at-home gardeners and might have some interesting talking points for learning throughout the season.
So is it something that you made up? Is this just a thing that only happens here at Farm Folk City Folk, or is that a widespread project?
Variety trials are widespread, I'd say, all around the globe. Farmers will, you know, try a whole bunch of varieties on the farm one year to decide which year, the next year, what they want to plant their whole acre in. I haven't heard of any larger citizen seed trials like this. Seeds of Diversity they're a large nonprofit that works in seed works that kind of is nationally. We kind of work with them as more of a provincial ally. And they do a seed grow out program where they have a big seed library, and when things are getting rare or they're running out and need to be refreshed, they'll send it out to citizens to regrow. But I'm not aware of any seed trials that are directly engaging citizens beyond us.
So what are you really saying then with the citizen seed trial? Are they growing out just whatever seeds they want, or what's the situation?
Okay, yeah. So each year we choose a few crops to trial. So this year we're trialing carrots, tomatoes, and beans. And our carrot trial and our tomato trial compare a hybrid versus an open pollinated variety. Mm-hmm. And we're really highlighting a couple hybrid versus open pollinated varieties in our trial.
Okay, so just for people that don't know the difference, what is a hybrid versus an open pollinated? What do those things mean?
Right. So an open pollinated variety basically just means that there's free flowing of the pollen. So you have your population of plants, and all the pollen can flow between all the plants and is uninhibited. Versus a hybrid crop is basically you inbred two lines of plants. So you create what you want to be your male line and what you want to be your female line, or just your pollen donor and receiver, because a lot of crops have both male and female parts. And then you're kind of controlling to make sure that the cross only goes one way to get a really vigorous plant in that 1 year, because usually two very inbred populations, science-y terms, they're both homozygous, have the same gene at each allele, but when they combine, they become extremely heterozygous, which is known as a phenomenon called hybrid vigor, and makes them very, I guess, vigorous.
So what you're doing then is open pollinated, could be just old varieties or heirloom varieties. Is that another word for it?
For sure. Heirloom varieties are all open pollinated varieties. Just heirloom varieties usually have been around longer and maybe don't have some of the selection pressure as some of the open pollinated varieties, but the terms are used pretty interchangeably. And the reason we're really trying to promote open pollinated varieties is, well, one, they tend to be a lot less expensive. Hybrid production, it takes a lot of effort to create those inbred lines and maintain those crosses over the years. And also, just because I find we can develop a dependency sometimes on these really popular hybrid varieties and kind of forget about some of the open pollinated varieties. But with climate change coming, I think it's really important that we maintain the genetics of as many varieties as possible, because we don't know 5 years down the road if those hybrids are still going to serve us the same way, or if we're going to have to look for alternative genes in some of these heirloom or open pollinated varieties.
Now, you touched on cost. I was looking at some tomatoes in a catalog I got, and 15 seeds were $24 US. I couldn't believe it. And that was an example of a hybrid. But it's worse than that, isn't it? You can't save the seeds from hybrids. You have to go back to the cross, the original cross again. Isn't that true?
Exactly. You can save the seeds from hybrids, but you're going to get unpredictable outcomes because the genes from the inbred parents are going to start randomly assorting, and you might get something not so desirable.
Right. It won't be that same hybrid, I guess, is the point.
Exactly. Open pollinated, you save the seeds, you know what to expect.
And over time, can open pollinated seeds be more adapted to your own garden? Isn't that part of this climate change sort of situation? If you've got an area and you're growing open pollinated, that they will be?
For sure, especially if you're doing a lot of selection pressures or even just roguing some of the undesirable plants. Like last year, we did peas in our citizen seed trial, and during the heat dome in BC, lots of people lost their peas, but some people's peas survived. So it was kind of an interesting point. Or some people might have had one plant die, but the other one survived. And in that case, you're really selecting for a pea plant that is drought resistant if you're only saving the seeds from the ones that survive that high temperatures.
Well, good point. Now, can you tell us what are the varieties? You said you're doing a carrot, a tomato, and a bean. So tell me first about the tomato, because everyone loves tomatoes.
Sounds good. Yeah, the tomatoes, we're trialing two open pollinated varieties, the strawberry cherry tomato from It Chosen Farms and Soleil, against the really popular hybrid Sun Gold tomato, which you've probably heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really quite excited about this. Fiona Hammersley Chambers from It Chosen Farms has bred the strawberry cherry tomato and been selling it through It Chosen Farms for a while. And I got to meet her on our Vancouver Island mobile seed cleaner tour this year. And she had some really incredible breeding projects going on. I remember seeing a Swiss chard that she had crossed with a sugar beet to try to get a sweeter Swiss chard, just lots of cool things. And she's released a couple new apple varieties. And these days, with most apples being grafted, I think that's a really interesting initiative.
So tomatoes, the Sun Gold is a small cherry orange to yellow tomato. Now, are you testing three of the same, like three cherry orange colored tomatoes, or what is the situation?
Right. So we've got, the Sun Gold orange cherry tomato, and then a Soleil tomato, which is another cherry that looks very similar to the Sun Gold. And I believe it was a dehybridized descendant of the Sun Gold tomato. And then the strawberry cherry tomato is as the name kind of suggests, more pink in color. So we're really trying to test them head to head, especially the strawberry cherry against the Sun Gold, to see how it competes on traits like earliness, yield, flavor. I've heard from the Metchosen folks that the strawberry cherry tomato is the best they've ever tasted. So of course, I'm excited to see how it compares to the Sun Gold cherry tomato.
Right, because the Sun Gold's such a standard for sweetness, isn't it?
It is. People really like how it tastes.
So moving on to the carrot, what's happening with the carrot?
Yeah, the carrot is a really cool project, actually. So basically, back in 2017, BC Organic Carrot Growers identified a need for an open-pollinated Nantes carrot to replace Bolero, which is a hybrid variety that's very dependable and a super uniform storage carrot. But the seed is only produced by a multinational company based in France. So while the Bolero roots can grow reliably, its seed supply really can't be counted on because it's subject to business decisions and supply chains that are really out of our control.
So the farmers didn't want to be depending on buying the hybrid Bolero. So is it still in your test this year then, the Bolero versus some of the open pollinated?
Exactly. So in 2018, a few different open pollinated cultivars were trialed along with some breeding lines. And then every year since then, they've been putting selection pressure for good flavor, consistent blunt tips, Nantes shape, for a nice deep orange color, minimal tapering, and resilience in BC growing conditions. So it'll be cool to see how their breeding efforts over the past few years have, if they've worked, and how they compare head to head against Bolero, the cultivar that, you know, spurred its development.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this Bolero, I should try it myself. I actually haven't tried that one. It's funny how there's thousands and thousands of seeds out there that you haven't tried.
I would agree. When I was a kid, I found carrots especially challenging to grow. I think they are a bit challenging because they have a really slow germination. Right. So I feel like compared to tomatoes and other things that I've been kind of testing for a while now, since I was young, carrots I feel particularly behind on, but I've been having success ever since working on some farms, and I grew tons of carrots last year. So now I know I can do it.
I just read recently that to germinate carrots, it's better to pour hot water over them than I
can. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. What's your secret with carrots?
I think you just need to have a really weed-free bed is the most important part. And just, you have to keep on the thinning, because if you overplant, your carrots won't get big enough if they're too close together. I find at the farm, a flame weeder can be quite nice before the carrot grows, but before the carrot starts to germinate. But if you do have some weeds already, yeah, but I think a clean bed with less weed pressure, if you do have a bed with less weed pressure, is good for carrots since they are such slow germinators.
Are you putting them under a board or anything like that?
Exactly. You could do that too, especially on a smaller scale.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I used to find. But now this year I read about the heat treatment. So I'm going to try that. So I think this is a big international problem. I mean, you're mentioning that it's specifically something the growers in BC are asking about, but when I did an interview with a carrot grower in Alberta last year, he said this happens again and again. They get a favorite type of carrot, a Nantes carrot, and it's their favorite, and then all of a sudden it's no longer available. So we're pretty much at the whim, as you say, of those producers. Crazy. And that's why the citizen seed trial is so closely tied to food security, you were mentioning.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, there is, as I've heard Fiona from Metchosen Farms say before, there's no food security without seed security, and having a local supply is absolutely necessary if you want to have a sustainable local food system.
So do you think the citizen seed trials are going to help with food security?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd say there's two big ways that a citizen seed trial helps contribute to food and seed security. And the first way is pretty simple. It's just the fact that the more gardeners that learn about seed saving and produce food from the self, the stronger our food system. And the second way is definitely the data we collect from these trials, the data that will come out how the Sun Gold is doing versus how the strawberry cherry, is doing versus the Sun Gold will be super interesting. Because then when we give that data back to Fiona, she can think, oh, you know, my strawberry cherry, it does super well compared to Sun Gold, except for it just doesn't yield enough. So then she knows to really focus on increasing yield. Or if we notice our carrots that we're growing out, our population just isn't as tasty as the other one, or people don't think the appearance is as good, then we know kind of what selections continue to happen to bring these open pollinated cultivars to a place where they're competing with the hybrids. One thing I have worried about this trial is I'm wondering, well, will citizens get these varieties and just decide on themselves, well, oh, wow, the hybrid's way better, I'm just going to continue to buy hybrid varieties. But I think if people do come to that conclusion, they have to ask themselves why. Like, why did, was it because there was so much work and effort to produce those hybrid varieties? And if we had put that much effort into improving our open pollinated varieties, would we be at the same level? I don't have the answers, but it's something to think about.
Right. And I realized I didn't ask you about the beans. You've got the three crops this year, the tomatoes, the carrots, and the beans. What type of beans are you growing?
Right. So this year we're growing an easy pick and straight and narrow variety. I grew them all out last year at our seed farm. And these bush beans, they look fairly similar. And I really want to encourage people to look at kind of the details and growth patterns and kind of observe their plants on a bit of a higher level. And I think the bean trial is really great for people who are interested in seed saving, maybe for the first time, because beans tend to be a bit easier to seed save compared to some other crops. And I also, the straight and narrow bean variety I've been noticing isn't as commonly found on seed catalogs these days. So I think it's really important to get these seeds out there just so we have a bank of them in case we continue to see straight and narrow not be in catalogs as much.
Now, are they both open pollinated or is one of those beans a hybrid?
Yeah, they're both open pollinated.
Okay, so we're basically whoever grows them out will also be growing their own seed for this coming year.
Exactly. And I think they're both really nice beans. I've heard some growers in the valley tell me, oh yeah, the straight and narrow, I've been looking to buy them, haven't found them. And the easy pick are, as the name suggests, super easy to pick. So they're great for commercial production. You can just kind of grab a handful. They kind of just grow out on the sides, basically.
Well, that's so interesting because you're right. I have grown a lot of green beans. I've never seen those two varieties. How would you describe the actual fruit on the beans? Is it the big broad bean that you have to make a slice out of, or is it more of a round French style?
They have white seeds. They're more kind of like a French filet bean. I would say most suitable to just eating while fairly fresh. So obviously not as a dry bean, but just as a fresh bean.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. So if people do want to get involved in the Seed Link, how does that work and what do they do?
Oh, Seed Linked. So Seed Linked is the plant evaluation platform we use to facilitate the citizen seed trial. And it's really an emerging, innovative platform that has a huge multifunctionality. We've used it for all our seed trials because it's super user-friendly and we can set up what traits we want. It uses a 1-to-5 system for the different characteristics. So for this year, like bolting resistance is really important to us to carrots, but bolting resistance might not be so important. Well, isn't important in tomato production, but you know, flavor and yield are super important for us. And then all the data is collected in a decentralized shared database that growers like you and me can look at. So let's say I wanted to grow beets next year. I don't have a huge experience of beets. I could go see some reviews of varieties before purchasing and even find out where the seeds are being sold. And even maybe somebody's left comments on tidbits on how to grow that variety better. I think in general, SeedLink's a really great way to connect growers to their varieties and plant breeders to growers. I think it really just connects a lot of different parts of the seed world. And I've had the privilege of meeting Nico Angelbal, their co-founder and CEO, and him and his team are consistently improving the database, adding more functions, and it's just really exciting to see.
So how could people get involved with this citizen seed trial? What's the process?
Yes, it's just a simple registration. This year we're asking for a $5 contribution for each trial to take part in, but it's a pretty good deal. You get 2 or 3 seed packets for each trial, and that's only $5. So it helps support seed security and it helps support our work at Farm Folk City Folk. And you can find registration at our website, farmfolkcityfolk.ca. And you can also probably find information about Citizen Seed Trial on various social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then even if you listen to this after the registration is closed, you can still follow along in our Citizen Seed Trial Facebook group. And you might even be able to find someone near you who might be able to share some of their seeds or transplants. I remember last year, somebody in, I think it was Victoria, had so many transplants and went on and said, hey, does anybody need any? And somebody said, well, mine all died. So yes, please.
Oh, fantastic. So people are quite cooperative and they get the seeds and they go online to get them. And there is a small charge this year.
Yes.
Now, beyond a citizen seed trial, because did you say the date's closing soon for applying for this year's seeds?
Yeah, the registration closes February 1st.
Okay, so it might be too late by the time people hear this podcast, but nevertheless, they can still go on and follow. And is there another way that gardeners generally can contribute to this local seed system or the local seed program, whether they live in Montreal or Kansas? I mean, is there a way people can be involved in saving seeds and the local seed community?
Right. The top ones that come to my mind is 100% support your local seed grower. We have a great directory of local BC seed growers on our website. And I know SeedLinked actually has a list of a whole bunch in the United States. And another one is to check out your local CD Saturday. We have a calendar with the BC CD Saturdays on our website. And then the last thing, anybody can do this, no matter where you are, is become a seed saver. This year, maybe try, if you noticed a few beans, you left them go a bit late, let them dry out and collect the seeds. I feel like seed saving is a super rewarding and cost-cutting way to boost the seed system. And if you save some seeds and have some extras, be sure to give them to your local seed library, because oftentimes they're looking for donations. So those seeds, you might have too many than you need, but somebody else will be able to take them out from the library and grow for themselves.
All right. I have never heard of a seed library. What is that? And what are you talking about?
Oh, right. So seed libraries, they come in different forms and formats. Some are found right in your library. My university, we had one at our library. You could go there. You would check out the seeds just like books. The idea is you take out seeds, you grow them out, and then you return seeds at the end of the season. Some are run by nonprofits, and some are just really small things neighbors make. Like I've seen in New Westminster, you know, those book cases you see on the side of the roads? Instead of books, it was full of seeds for people to take and leave, which is super fun and community building.
Oh, that is fantastic. I am definitely going to start that here this year. I think that is such a great idea because I think like other people, I mean, I'm just looking here at some jars full of red curry seed, for instance. It's a type of squash. And I'm like, oh, Donna, you need about 3 seeds. And I've got about 300. So I love this idea of the small seed library. And anything else? Can you think of any other way that people might get involved with growing seeds or with Farm Folk City Folk or just growing this season?
Yeah, I would say this is more food security, but definitely checking out your farmers markets and if you're interested in getting a CSA, our website has a great CSA listing as well for folks in BC. We have a lot of programs for farmers and eaters alike. I would just check out our website and kind of browse through some of the programs. If you are someone who does save a lot of seeds, you're a seed grower, we have seed cleaning equipment available and it's ready to use and it'll help cut down your time you spent cleaning your seeds. And it's good equipment that can be pricey to get for yourself, but we're hoping to share.
Wow. No, I don't know what you mean by that. What is your seed cleaning equipment? What does that look like?
Right. So we've had a seed cleaning trailer since 2019, but last year we received quite a bit of funding from the BC Ministry of Ag to purchase two new seed trailers. So in our seed trailers, we have different machinery that will do different things to clean your seeds. And people, honestly, you'd say, oh, I'm cleaning my seeds. And they go, oh, you know, with dish soap. And I go, no dish soap, please. Mm-hmm. But what we really mean is there's kind of three ways to, I guess there's three steps in cleaning your seeds. There's threshing, and that's just when you're removing kind of the chaff from the seed. And we have one machine that kind of does this really quickly for you. You can just put your whole bean plants inside this machine. It churns it up and then just gives you all the chaff and the seed kind of separated. Then you would take that and use our winnower. We have a winnow wizard, super cool machine. You can load it up with all your chaff and seeds. You turn on a blower. It just slowly pours out. An airflow comes by. It kind of separates everything based on weight. So oftentimes you'll see all of your seeds land in one spot, and then all of your light chaff gets flown away before. And if you have any rocks or anything, it'll fly right down. And all of a sudden you've got a really clean seed lot. And then we also have screens, in just individual screens and clippers. And that's the idea of separating things by size rather than by weight.
You know, I can see this being really useful for something like arugula, because the seeds are so small. And
yes.
They just, you know, I try to collect them in paper bags, but then you have a whole bag full of chaff. So that sounds really like a fantastic solution. And I should have mentioned, I think that there's a lot of CD Saturdays that are not going on this year. So I love your idea with the library. I think that's just amazing for people who want to kind of run their own CD Saturday with their own little library.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sadly, I'm hearing my dog bark. Are you hearing my dog bark?
Yes.
Oh, I thought my husband would take her out. Now, did we forget anything else?
I would say that in general, I think people underestimate the power they have in strengthening the food system and seed security. There's something like 8,000 plant varieties in Canada that are only being produced by one grower. So if you purchase that seed, or you're in a Seeds of Diversity program and you get sent that seed and you grow it and save it, you're effectively doubling the number of people with that genetic bank. So if that one seed supplier ever goes out of business, you have the backup. And I think that's really miraculous that we can have such an impact on our seed security with small things like just saving a bean pod here or letting a lettuce bolt and collecting the seeds that way.
And do you have any favorite vegetables yourself that you want to share? Anything that you love to grow and save?
That's a tough one. I definitely love carrot flowers. They are so pretty, and I also love carrots. And I find the carrot flowers are always so full with ladybugs and pollinators. It's just, it really brings me joy to see a flowering carrot. I also just love carrots. I think it's my favorite vegetable, but I'm also really big on arugula, the spicy lettuce.
It is very nice, isn't it? That was a newer food for me. I don't think 10 years ago I was eating arugula. I think it started coming into the grocery stores, and then I started catching on. So it's fantastic. Well, Siri, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna, for having me. This has been a pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll get everyone onto your website and looking for the Citizen Seed program. And if they don't make the deadline, they can at least follow along and see how others are doing. Thanks again.
No problem. Take care.
Okay.
Well, what a fresh new idea to participate actively in seed saving and testing, become a part of a bigger trial. What a great interview with farm folk, City Folk employee, Siri Van Gruen. It's probably too late to sign up, but it is definitely a good idea to shop around on the SeedLinked website, so check out the show notes to get all the connections for Farm Folk, City Folk, SeedLink. It's all there on the show notes. So much fun. And now for the gardening gold. This week, I want to mention that CD Saturdays have been a big part of my life. I've often presented at them. I've often attended as a gardener. But this year, most of the CD Saturdays are unavailable. Again, darn COVID. So right now, what I loved the most from Siri was her idea of setting up your own little seed library just for neighbors and friends to visit. As Siri was saying, take your inspiration from the many little book libraries in every neighborhood, but instead of books, fill them with your own seeds. I am so inspired. I save a lot of seeds, and in fact, I have a lot of seeds to give away, so I'm going to do that this season. And now it's time for you to help me. This show is better if you participate, so if you have a question about growing food, or if you have the name of someone who would be a great guest, let me know. Send your questions or ideas via a voice memo. You will find the voice memo section on your phone. Just tape a quick message to me and send it off. You can email your questions to askdonna@donnabalzer.com. That's askdonna@donnabalzer. Big thanks go out this week and every week to Brennan Anderson, my son. He lives in Smithers, BC, and he wrote and performed this original music all throughout the podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. And if you appreciate the show, the best thing you can do for me is to rate this podcast, share it with a friend, and subscribe, because these small things really do help me grow. And also, you can subscribe to my webpage at donnabalzer.com. And that means I'll send you a newsletter about once a month. Until next time, thanks so much. I am Donna Balzer, and this is my podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. Good for the soil and good for the soul.